everybody. I'm Erin Cahill, aka Jen from Time Force, and you're listening to The Grid.
Morphin Legacy presents The Grid.
Howdy, Ranger Nation. This is ShatterA22, Vice President of MorphinLegacy.com, welcoming you to a special episode of The Grid, where we will recap and review the Power Rangers graphic novel, Sins of the Future, written by Matthew Ehrman and illustrated by Giuseppe Cafaro, who did Soul of the Dragon and The Psychopath. Joining me in this episode is Austin.
Hi.
And Amber decided to sit this one out since the day we're recording, it's the day after her birthday. But speaking of days we're recording this, I usually don't get political on this, but fuck it. I would like to congratulate our president-elect Joe Biden and vice-president-elect Kamala Harris on officially winning the 2020 election yesterday.
Yes, God! We'd love to see it.
Thank God. I remember recording after the 2016 election, and you could hear it on our voices. We were depressed.
Yeah.
And if Trump won, I don't think we would probably be recording this now, because we would be super fucking depressed.
Yeah, that's a black hole depression.
All right, so that's out of the way. Let's talk about Sins of the Future. And thankfully, that is a title for a fictional graphic novel and not our literal future.
Also, Sins of the Future. Thankfully, this book didn't really sin that much.
Okay, so since we're talking about it, let's talk about some spoiler-free reviews on this issue before we get into spoilery. So, Austin, what did you think about it?
There's a lot to like in it, but there's also just stuff to be like, it doesn't take me all the way there, you know? It's entertaining.
It didn't do anything to offend me like Psychopath.
I don't regret reading it. That's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, Psychopath offended me so much because Psycho Rangers are my shit. I love Evil Rangers. And I really wanted to have a story about their origins, because with Psychotic, we learned about Psycho Green's origin story. So I assumed with Psychopath, they'd teach us all five, but they didn't do that.
Fill in the other blanks, sis. They could have done that using other of the Sentai teams that were in Super Mega Force that Psychotic did.
But they didn't, so...
Because God hates us.
Paul, you mean?
I mean, we'll get into it more, but this, I think, could have done more.
Yeah, it could have done more.
I honestly, though, I can't really pinpoint it, because I know one thing that it's missing, but overall story-wise, I don't really...
You think it's a love story between Wes and Jen about them fighting to be together, but it's not really much.
It is for like two pages, and then the rest of it is something else, and then it's that again at the very end.
I don't know. Wes is gone for about two-thirds of this.
Yeah, he's like in 5% of it, maybe. Even though he's on the cover. Sister!
In his Silver Guardian outfit he never wears in the issue, by the way.
Okay, they did that for this. They did that for Psychopath. Stop. This is slander. This is propaganda. Why are you falsely advertising?
Yeah, Perone was wearing the Lost Galaxy outfit that she never wears in Psychopath.
Not only does Wes just not wear the Silver Guardians outfit, he also isn't wearing that stupid hat.
That stupid red beret. And Frax is on the cover. He doesn't show up in this.
Frax isn't even fucking in it. Except in like a hologram form, but like, sister. And it's like, maybe they put Frax on the cover just to avoid a spoiler.
Subvert expectations of who the villain is in the story.
I mean, I get that, but subverting my expectations of seeing Wes in this fabulous outfit. Lawsuit.
Jail.
Jail.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Spoiler reviews. So how we'll deal with this is similar to how we do the episode reviews. I'll have a plot synopsis. We'll talk about certain characters and acts in the graphic novel, and then we'll just talk about random shit. Okay, on to the plot synopsis. Taking place shortly after reinforcements from the future, Silver Hills is still being attacked by rogue Cyclobots, but thankfully for the city of Silver Hills, Wes, Eric, and a time-hopping Jen, who is using this situation as a ploy to date Wes, that is until Captain Logan, remember him from like three episodes?
No.
Reveals that Jen has moved to a new position in Time Force, the Hyperforce Project. Can't you tell? Austin loves Hyperforce. Jen then travels to the past one more time to break up with S due to a possible change in the future that dating Wes could bring, including the clock tower rebuilding itself, which is kind of pointless because it's literally destroyed 2 seconds later.
That was so weird though, because like Wes set up this date for him and Jen in the clock tower, and she's like, how did you do this? He's like, oh, it's just here. It's like, not even thinking. I'm like, what?
So you set up a date and you're like, oh, how is this here? It was destroyed. And it's like, oh, well, I set up a date anyway.
What the fuck?
I don't know if not 2 seconds from now, it's going to end up being disintegrated by something, which it is, by the Black Time Force Ranger. That bitch blows it up, having the sole mission of killing Jen. Jen is able to escape, though, and returns to the future, which has been altered. And Jen is now an enemy of Time Force, and because she is accused of killing Alex.
Good. Fuck Alex.
Fuck him.
Girl, I don't blame you. Fuck.
Yeah, he's a jackass.
No, for real. Oh, excuse me. This is supposed to say Alex Drake.
Oh, my mistake. I thought that was just fanon.
I didn't even know that was an actual fake last name people had given him.
Yeah, they used it. I think for Trip, they had Trip Regis or something, or Regis for his last name.
No, man.
Yeah, that is not in the Morphalexi database trust.
Those aren't facts.
Nadira from an even farther future is here to save the day, and it is revealed that the Black Time Force Ranger is Alex's little sister, Kyra? Kira? Sierra?
Oh, I was saying Sierra. Your guess is as good as mine.
Kira, Kyra, Kira, don't call her Kira. I don't know. Who blames Jens for Alex's personality change after coming back from the dead?
Sister, that was all him.
I guess it's to explain why he was so nice in the first episode, but now he's a jackass after coming back to life. I just thought Alex was like that the whole time.
I just thought he was a dick, and then he was just like, we never saw that side of him.
After a good long talk, like it's like 5 or 6 pages of just dialogue, Kyra has a change of heart, and then we learn about the Black Chronomorpher, which was created by Dr. Louis Ferrix. Sound familiar?
Correct.
Yep. When he worked for the Time Force, I guess he works for Time Force.
Oh, that would have been nice to know.
It just comes out of nowhere. So the gang decides to head to his lab in Outpost 1. If that doesn't sound familiar, it is from Shattered Grid.
Okay, and honestly, I don't remember that at all from Shattered Grid.
It is the first page of MMPR 25. You see them flying away from it in the first page of Shattered Grid. It is very far away. It's like, it's understandable if you didn't know what it was, because for a second I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh, okay. I have to see it on Twitter to remember what it was, because it's not that important. But I guess it is now. I mean, they introduced it. I guess it's going to be used for something else, because that is the place of the time anomalies. We then learn that Ferrix split himself into another robot called Frix.
Frix.
Frix. You freaking Frix.
You freaking Frix!
Was been using Outpost 1 as a place to experiment on people to time travel, which has caused the time anomalies. But Jen and Sierra are able to defeat him, and we learn that Jen gave Sierra the Black Chronomorpher in the past due to time paradoxes.
Make it make sense. This is so convoluted. I have a simple brain. I'm gay. I can't understand this.
Well, to quote Frax,
it's a vicious cycle that never ends, Nadira!
And to quote Jen from Sins of the Future, I hate time travel.
Oh, you hate time travel? I didn't know that.
I never bring it up.
You know, I like to compare Austin's hate of time travel to something else. You know Baby Grinch from How the Grinch Stole Christmas? When you see Baby Grinch climbing up a mountain and he's saying,
I hate Christmas! I hate it!
That's Austin with time travel.
Oh my god, you're not wrong though.
I mean, you are Baby Grinch.
Oh yeah, period.
You're also Baby Yoda. You're every baby and every dumb blonde in movies.
That's on god.
Okay, so the issue ends with Wes and Jen still being able to date thanks to Outpost 1 due to the fortress being outside the barriers of time.
Honestly, Outpost 1 is the real MVP of this graphic novel. Like, come through!
I thought they were gonna pull a psychopath, do something I was really gonna hate, because honestly, I was gonna be like, are they gonna break Wes and Jen up? Because I'm gonna be mad about it. I can pretend that Wes and Jen are still a thing without this issue. But if this is gonna be here, and it's gonna be canon to whatever canon this is, I'm like, ugh, they're gonna break them up. They're gonna fuck this up like the Psycho Rangers. God damn it!
It's like plot twist. Sierra is like their daughter or something.
I honestly thought that they were gonna do that with Sierra, but they didn't. I guess that's subverting expectations.
I don't know how I will have felt about that, because I don't really care about her being Alex's sister.
Okay, on to specific things in this issue. But first up, Wes and Jen. Wes and Jen decide to start a relationship after they reunited in Reinforcements from Future, but they're only able to date in short bursts due to time limits set by Time Force, since they're under the impression that Jen is going back to the past to deal with Cyclobots.
So what was the point with the Cyclobots being there? I thought it was like Frax is still alive and hiding, sending them out or something.
But apparently they were Cyclobots that were left over from End of Time.
This takes place after Reinforcements, which is like a year after End of Time. Why are there still remnants of Cyclobots?
There were a lot of them in the finale, but I assumed they destroyed them all, but I guess not.
Also, they fucking talk for some reason.
I guess they wanted to use them. Jen had a reason to go back in time to date Wes, because they had time limits on it, and I don't think Captain Logan would be like, oh, sure, you want to date Wes? Go ahead!
Go ahead, girl! Get that dick, honey!
Get that dick, honey. We then get some cute date moments, like a Chinese food date where Wes decides to figure out his thing, since the other Rangers have things, which are pretty much their only character trait due to Time Force being the Wes and Jen show, like this novel.
Well, the first date is sushi.
Oh, it's sushi.
Their first date is sushi. It's just kind of like a lunch thing. It's not like their actual date we see after this.
I thought Jen was a vegan.
Well, we don't find that out until the end.
Oh, so inconsistencies in the novel.
There's vegan sushi.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's just a rice thing and seaweed.
Yeah. Some can have fish, but you can get it without fish.
Well, let's talk about the character traits that Wes lists off for his three teammates.
This is Shade.
Katie, she's strong. Trip, he's an alien. Lucas, he's into cars. What the hell?
That was such a read on Time Force as a whole. Okay, end it.
These are the only character traits these three characters have, because Time Force is honestly just the Wes and Jen show.
Yeah, and Eric.
And featuring Eric.
Okay, one thing I wanted to mention, though, from their sushi date was they're talking about puns. Wes is like, I'm the cool one. I need a catchphrase or something. And he's thinking of ones, and he gets an idea, and there's this little light bulb that has the Time Force red helmet on it. It's really cute.
It's really cute. There's some moments in this issue where it's trying to be a cheesy thing, but at the same time, it's like, oh, I came back to the past to kill you because you killed my brother. I'm like, okay, pick a tone.
Also, their date in the clock tower with the light is really cute. And then their cupcakes that have their helmets on them. Goodbye. Like, that's the cutest thing ever. That is so cute.
You've been asking me for days if it's been online, so you could get a little screen cap of that to post on Twitter. It hasn't been on there.
One day.
However, after their first sushi day, they're forbidden to date by Captain Logan due to Jen being recruited into the Hyperforce Project.
Thankfully, that didn't really come back at all.
Yeah, it's just honestly an Easter egg drop, because when the writer was talking about, oh, I'm going to add little Hyperforce Easter eggs in this, I'm like, is this whole graphic novel just going to be about Hyperforce? Because if it is, it's going to confuse a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, at least you would have understood it because you watched it before.
Yeah, I did. Also, she can't go back because time's fucking up. Like, the clock tower randomly coming back for no reason.
That just coming back for no reason is one thing. Wes not questioning it at all is stupid.
Let's have a date here. How do you know this is solid or not?
Like, I know he's a himbo, but fuck.
Yeah, I mean, Wes isn't the smartest tool in the shed, but come on now.
Like, I feel like he's smart enough for that.
However, things are solved thanks to Outpost 1 being out of the time barrier. So Wes and Jen confirmed.
I just feel like literally the back of this graphic novel, a love that crosses all of time and space. Like, that's the catchphrase for this. That's what's supposed to pull you in. So they're pulling you in by the romance, and you're thinking, oh, this is just going to be about their struggle to date.
This is just going to be a graphic romance novel, and it's literally just about Jen being hunted down by Alex's vengeful sister.
Which isn't awful. That's an interesting story, but it's also just you're falsely advertising this. Again,
yeah.
On the cover and on the back, sister. When will the lies stop, Boom Studios?
Liza Minnelli, lies. But talking about Sierra, Kira, Kyra, let's talk about her.
The first thing I want to say about this queen, can we get an official pronunciation on her name?
Yeah, we need like a phonetic spelling for her, please.
Yeah. Reading it out, I just called her Sierra. But I don't know how you're actually supposed to pronounce it.
So Sierra, she is the younger sister of Alex, the former Red Time Force Ranger, and Jen's ex-fiance, who was given the Black Chronomorpher by a time paradox Jen and uses its power to create time portals to travel through them to kill Jen Scott's due to her blaming Jen for the death, resurrection, and personality change of her brother. Alex. But after learning the true villain of this story, she decides to team up with Jen, but is thrown into a time portal. But we learn she survived somehow, and she just shows up as an older version saying, oh, yeah, we beat Fricks.
Mm-hmm, I'm here. This was so convoluted. This is why, again, Jen says she hates time travel, bitch me too, the fuck, because this makes no damn sense! This is too much. Like, you can just do time travel stuff and be like, yeah, like, them trying to have a long-distance relationship living in different years is a struggle because that fucks up the timeline. That's enough. I don't need all of this fucking stupid bullshit.
Oh, they created this morpher and Jen gave it to her, but how did Jen get the morpher to go back in time?
How did she get to go back in time? How does she not know that she gave it to her at the beginning of
How does Sierra not know that Jen was the one that gave it to her?
Yes! This is why you just avoid time travel, because seriously, that is the whole essence of the story, is she's going after Jen, but then it turns out Jen gave her the Black Chronomorpher, but she still wants to fucking kill Jen.
Yeah, but it's like, are you blaming Jen because she gave you the morpher? Because in that case, why are you even using the morpher in the first place if you think Jen was the one that caused this stuff?
Right.
Also, if you're using time travel and you're blaming time travel because of what Alex did, then why the fuck are you using time travel, you hypocrite?
For real. And then they destroy the Black Chronomorpher at the end, so it's like, doesn't that just like cancel out this whole fucking thing?
But I guess it was in a time after she got it, so if it was before she got it, I guess that means it wouldn't happen, but it happens after? I don't know. Oh my god, my head hurts!
See, that's how I feel about Avengers Endgame, just randomly, for example, too. It's like, it's something you can enjoy at face value, but after you think about it for more than 5 seconds, the story falls apart and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And that's my period.
Overall, I do like her. Her motivation is interesting, I guess, but it's when you think about it for more than 5 seconds, it makes no sense.
I get the face value of her motivation, right? Like, yeah, of course, like, you'd want to get revenge for your brother dying or whatever. But when you find out at the end how the rest of the story plays out, well, it's like, well, you wanting to kill Jen makes no sense because she gave you the thing.
Also, you blame time travel for the reason your brother became such a douchebag, but you're using time travel
to kill the person that gave you the morpher in the first place. Make it make sense. And also, I'm sorry, sister, Alex is trash. I don't really care that he died or whatever.
Yeah, he's kind of a douche. Nobody really likes Alex.
I feel like that plot twist was like, oh, we're supposed to sympathize with her, which I guess I can to an extent, because I get that feeling of grief or whatever, but there's no substance there for me.
I guess it's different when it's her brother instead of some douchebag. From our point of view, Alex is a douchebag that's keeping Wes and Jen apart. From her point of view, that's her brother.
True. And also, I do like the suit a lot.
Yeah, you said this earlier when we were talking in the chat after you read it. It's like an oily feel.
Like oil slick. It's kind of like that hollow rainbow gradient, sort of.
And I like the weapon, too. It's like this giant, big broadsword.
Yeah, that was cool. Before we move on, there's one other thing I want to mention about her. Before we found out who she was, everyone used neutral pronouns when referring to Time Force Black.
Good on you, Matthew Urban.
Thanks, King.
Don't assume pronouns. Okay, so on to Dr. Lewis Ferrick /Frack/Frix.
Jesus Christ, that was convoluted.
It is revealed that Dr. Ferrick had worked for Time Force this entire time.
What?
Never mentioned in Time Force that he worked for Time Force, but apparently he made a morpher that has the ability to create time portals without the use of time ships.
It's interesting, but like, that's annoying information to me. That's some like J.K. Rowling shit to where it's like, oh, he was the person the whole time, and oh, he created the morphers and everything. It's like, that's big information to just withhold.
Which is also the morpher Kira ends up using. Oh god, I cannot see what Kira. I don't know.
It's Sierra.
Sierra, okay. Of course, Time Force thinks he was crazy, so he went off to Outpost 1 to do time experience on individuals, including an Eltarian named Z. In Mighty Morphin, Eltarians are starting to show up in those comics, so I guess it was just a little wink at the people reading Mighty Morphin. And another experiment, which Frax actually created Venomark.
Huh. More important information that would have been nice to know.
This part makes sense because Dr. Ferrix was the one that created the serum that cured his bite. So it kind of makes sense, and it wasn't that convoluted that he was the one that created Venomark.
No, because Nadira was like, okay, here's a little quick exposition rundown of what happened in Time Force. And that fit in for me. That worked.
And then we learn after Ferrix was injured by Rancic after he blew up his leg, he created two robotic bodies. Frax, the bitch that we all know, and Frix, who was sent to Outpost 1 to continue his experiments that have caused those time cray cray portals.
Sister. I don't even know where to start with this. Again, that's a lot of information to just not have. He has a whole other fucking version of himself? What? And Frix? Frix? It couldn't just be like Frax version 2? No, Frix.
I honestly thought that Frax was made from his body and he was just added like robotic pieces to him, but apparently he just downloaded his brain into Frax, and I guess Frix is his body because he has like a skull in his form.
I couldn't even begin to.
Let's talk about Frix. He's a little cray. He's all buggy. He's not refined like Frax would. He's glitching all the time when he talks. Syntax! And he throws Sierra into a time portal, which I guess is fine. But Gems bumps him off real quick. He's like, bing! She just presses a button and he's dead.
She, like, pulls off the centerpiece of him. And it is literally one panel and he's dead. And, like, why does him throwing Sierra into a time portal not have any consequences?
What will you learn? What will you learn? That your actions have consequences!
I don't know.
What was even the throwing her into that if it's not going
to do it? I guess to think that she died, but then she goes back in time to a portal. It's like, oh, I'm older now. Okay. So on to Nadira. Nadira from, I guess, the Hyperforce timeline, because she has a picture of Joe in her lab.
No, it's Lucas.
Yeah, you say that, but it's actually Joe.
It's Lucas. I've decided. Period.
Okay, and that's on God.
That's
travel to one of the messed up timelines to rescue Jen from Time Force after they think she killed Alex and explains all the shit that's going down. She then gets help from her deity, who is a director at Time Force now, to get the location on Outpost 1 and get the fuck out of there when shit goes down because she can't fight.
That's bullshit. Yes, you can, Nadira. I wanted to see her fight. I wanted to see her use her nails, sister.
She could have really sliced Frix's head off in like 5 seconds with those nails.
For real, I'm like, girl.
But she's like, no, I gotta go.
And they fight those things that like are on Outpost 1, whatever the fuck those were. It's like, why didn't she use her nails for that? I wanted to see the nails. I'm gay.
Yeah. We love nails. Alrighty, so on to Outpost 1. Outpost 1 is a giant fortress out of space and time that was built for all Power Ranger teams throughout space and time to use either to meet or do whatever the hell they want, which is kind of a cool concept. That's kind of an interesting lore build where you could use future seasons or television shows or future comics.
I feel like that was something that was very purposefully set up.
Have a like consistent location you could use to team up with other Rangers, I'm sure will be used either the comics or another graphic novel.
Well, yeah, because Jen mentioned Rangers can use that as a base, but she didn't specify Time Force Rangers.
Wink, wink.
It was vague, so I would like to see that back again. I think that's a very interesting way to do team-ups and stuff.
I would like to see. Okay, so on to Hyperforce Easter egg, Austin's favorite part.
And this is where I kill myself.
But now you get the info, because now you know if you missed a Hyperforce Easter egg or not.
Oh, woo!
Okay, so the first one up is Jen getting chose to be part of the Hyperforce Project. For those who don't know, she is the Hyperforce Rangers history professor slash mentor. Next up, Nadira. She was married to Joe, the Silver Time Force Ranger slash Green Hyperforce Ranger, as when we saw the photo that Austin has convinced themselves into being Lucas.
Say what you want about Hyperforce. Have your own opinion. Whatever. Enjoy it. Don't like it. Whatever. I fucking hate that they put Nadira with fucking Joe, whoever the fuck Joe is. No. Nadira and Lucas, period.
I'm fine with Hyperforce being its own thing.
Yeah, it exists. People enjoy it, whatever.
But when you start changing characters and adding your OC characters being married to characters we know from a different thing,
that's where I draw the fucking line.
That's when it goes a little too far.
God, Nadira and Lucas are endgame. Fuck off.
So speaking of Nadira, let's talk about her deity.
Daddy.
He is a director of Time Force now. He is a director of the Mutant Rehabilitation Program in Hyperforce.
Work.
So I guess that means he gets criminal mutants off the streets and rehabilitates them? Or maybe freed criminals from the cryo prison and he just rehabilitates them?
Either way, probably. Probably both.
Alpha 55. That is the Alpha we see in this issue. He is in two different panels. The first one we see, he is a sleek version when Nadira calls him. And the black and gold version, we see Outpost 1 serving food to Wes and Jen in a red bow tie. If you were wondering why there was a black and gold Alpha at the end of Sins of the Future, there he was. He is the robotic assistant in Hyperforce.
Well, why is he red at the beginning of this and then he turns black and gold at the end?
I don't know.
Is it two different Alpha 55s?
I think at the beginning, Hyperforce had described Alpha 55's design as being red, and then towards the end, they referenced him being black and gold.
Oh, so they just changed their own rules on themselves? Okay.
I guess.
That's not how it works.
That was an inconsistency, but let's talk about Shota comic inconsistencies.
Sister.
Like Cyclebots talking. Why the fuck are they talking?
And they're saying shit like eliminate threat. Okay, this one was intentional. Ranger danger.
Shout out to the podcast, I guess. They have a grid next.
Well, they said the Morphin grid in this. That's something.
But if I have to be fair, there is one scene in Time Force where you hear Cyclebot talk, but it is very auto-tuned.
When?
At the end of time, like part one or part two. When they're looking for Frax, there's a Cyclebot that's... And then Rancic was like translating what he said.
Well, I guess they've talked. Well, they have their own, like, sound effect, obviously. But they talked in that one episode with the gym that's taken over by Cyclobots and they're turning people into Cyclobots.
Well, they do have human disguise.
Human disguise is second talk. Yeah, and then they say shit like, no master means free, destroy Silver Hills, glory to the Cyclobots. I'm like, that's a lot of dialogue for these fucking robots.
Who knew they were so Shakespearean?
I know, shit.
Okay, so Eric being nice. That was fucking weird.
That is against everything Eric is. Eric is the biggest dick in the universe.
He is an asshole. Even when they're buddy-buddy, he's still kind of an asshole to Wes. And it's like, in this now, he's like, oh, are you okay, Wes? Oh, you're covering that. Let me patch it. I'm like, what the fuck? Why did Eric just become so nice to Wes? Good lord.
Did they, like, make out or something that we didn't see? Like, why are they, like...
Is Eric Wes's boyfriend when Jen's off in the future?
Honestly, that's a fanfic I would like to read.
I'm sure there's one out there. Alex has a last name now, Drake.
Yeah, they want to remind you every 5 seconds also. They can't just say Alex, say Alex Drake.
I remember some boards using that last name, but I didn't think it was canon. I thought it was fanon, but apparently it's fanon now because it was used in an official graphic novel.
Yeah, I mean, like, you say Alex, you know who the fuck.
Alex?
Alex?
Rancic. She said it in a panel too. Yes, I read that in Jen's voice.
Oh my god, speaking of Rancic, the way his dialogue was written was exactly how he would sound on the show. So, like, props. Where he was like, Pink Ranger.
Very over-the-top Australian accent.
Oh my god, I loved that. That was great.
You did good there, Matthew Ehrman. Jen does not drive her vector cycle. Austin really wanted to point that out because they love the vector cycle.
I love the vector cycle. I've bought the fucking toy. I've been searching for, like, years.
They've been looking on eBay for a very long time for one, but they always find it for, like, $2 or shitty quality.
Either shitty quality or it's like the other Rangers. I'm like, no, I want pink. But yeah, why is she just driving this random bike? You have an in-universe cycle that they use that. And they mention the fucking episode where they get the vector cycles in this.
Tentaclaw?
Yeah.
Also, they don't blow up mutants, they freeze them. That's another inconsistency on the list.
I think the quote in this was like, they exploded him or something. I'm like, y'all don't do that. You capture him.
You're one of the few seasons that don't blow up the monsters. Alex suddenly has a sister that is never mentioned in Time Force at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's not really something I care to know because I don't give a fuck about Alex.
That is very Matt from Go-Go Power Rangers. Kim dated someone before Tommy.
Yeah, but we stand Matt.
That's an okay addition.
I'll allow it.
Dr. Ferrix being a part of Time Force. Never mentioned in the show. He's just some random scientist.
That could have just been a thing where it's like, oh yeah, he was a part of Time Force and he was outcast because his ideas were so crazy or something. Instead of like, oh, he created the fucking Morphers. He did all this.
And you assume in the show, he's just this nice scientist that that created Cyclobots to help people and has a cure for the Venom Arc thing, but no, he is a fucking bitch. And you assume that the reason why he's such a bitch is because what Rancic did to him that made him go crazy, but no, he's just an asshole this whole time, apparently.
I think they did ruin Frax's character a little bit in this. I think that kind of takes away from his arc in the season itself.
Yeah, because it is a very very sad story about how this nice scientist tried to help Rancic, but he ended up getting fucked over in the end. But it's like kind of an asshole to begin with.
Oh, he was just an asshole the whole time. Thanks, Matthew.
And last of the inconsistencies, Jen's a vegan now?
Okay, that was like, honestly, I think that's a throwaway line, but it's also like very specific.
Yeah, because at the end of the issue, Alpha 55 gives Jen what again?
Okay, the quote is, Jen, your millennial city plant burger cooked green with tender zucchini fries and warm spicy ketchup drizzled over top.
God, that's so pretentious.
That is the most pretentious thing in this comic. And of course, I had to read it.
Millennial city burger. Was that intentional too?
Where was the avocado toast though?
All right, that's the end, I think, unless you have anything else to say before you wrap the shit up.
Just random notes, like I liked the art a lot. I didn't have any complaints there.
Yeah, it's very consistent with the graphic novels, since all three have been done by the same artist, Giuseppe Cafaro.
There's one scene where they're at the clock tower and Sierra blows it up, where Jen has her broken visor and then Wes's whole fucking helmet is just shattered. That looks really cool.
Yeah, we never see shots like that. We see like broken visors all the time, but not like a straight up broken visor.
I do kind of wish we saw more of the other three Time Force Rangers in this.
But it's a Time Force graphic novel. That's pretty on brand for Time Force.
It's totally on brand for Time Force. The show ignored them too, and that's why that line about their personalities is so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's very meta.
Yeah, like Time Force Black, that was a really neat addition. I like that we saw Nadira in this, although it was Hyperforce Nadira.
I wasn't expecting her, so that was nice. I don't know why she was wearing her villain outfit.
Yeah, she's wearing her villain outfit, but we don't get to see the nails. The nails.
Why are you wearing that villain outfit? You think you wouldn't want to wear the outfit you wore when you were a psycho bitch?
It's because there's this line that Jen says, it's like her inner monologue where she calls Nadira like a fashionista or something. It's like,
I mean, she is one.
She's a fashion icon.
Icon legend the moment.
Come on now. My biggest takeaway from this, besides the time travel fuckery, which made no sense, Wes and Jen don't kiss.
Yeah, you would think that they would be able to kiss in a graphic novel.
Okay, first of all, they marketed this story as a struggle for them trying to find romance.
It was marketed as a Romeo and Juliet story with time travel and Power Rangers, but it's not really that. It honestly feels like a Kill Bill situation, like a sequel to Kill Bill.
Still waiting for that, by the way.
Yeah, get on that, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, like, we can't even get them to kiss in a fucking comic. Like, are you serious?
Like, what is gonna happen if Wes and Jen kiss? Is the universe gonna fall in on itself or something? What the hell?
I think it'll just collapse. Like, we can't handle it.
Yeah, probably.
Just implode. It's like, we can't even get a heterosexual kiss in a comic. What makes me think we're gonna get, like, a queer kiss in the show ever?
Trini and Jason kissed in the comics. There was, like, a whole fucking cover where they were kissing.
Oh, that's true. I guess the universe could handle that one.
Well, out of 1 out of 10, what would you rate this?
I think I would give it a 6.
Yeah, around a 7 for me. It was average. It didn't offend me. I enjoyed the art. I enjoyed the story somewhat. If you don't think too much about it, it's okay story. When you think, like I do, it's like, oh my god.
If you enjoy stuff at face value, I think you definitely enjoy this, especially if you love Time Force.
It didn't ruin Wes and Jen or Time Force. It just was an addition to Time Force.
And it added some interesting things that I think will come back later, like Outpost 1. They really set up to really utilize in the future, I think.
And the Black Chronomorpher was a good addition. I love female rangers, and it was nice to see a black female ranger. You don't have a lot of those. I think the only one in this hot before. Okay, so that is the end of our episode. Tune in next week for a brand new episode of The Grid. Until then, everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Morphin Legacy production, bitches.